This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRusha. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRusha Eats.
Thank you for spending some time with us. DeRusha Eats. In effect, it's Jason DeRusha. And this is an emotional episode of DeRusha Eats featuring Chef Jamie Yu. Jamie is a Korean immigrant, came to the Twin Cities specifically to work for perhaps our most famous chef, Gavin Kaysen. Jamie had a job at Belcor in YZ, a kind of a French bistro. And Belcor shut down during the pandemic. It left Jamie feeling lost. He said he felt like a failure, considered quitting the restaurant field until he ended up in a food hall newly opening in Minneapolis. Abang Yoli has been a huge hit with its flavorful Korean fried chicken, among other treats. And now they have a brick and mortar restaurant, too. You're going to love Jamie. Plus, two of my favorites, John Ng and Lena Go, came to the Twin Cities from San Francisco. A friend suggested that this would be a good place to launch a ramen shop. They opened Zen Box in the Skyway. Those kind of skyway walkways that connect downtown Minneapolis office buildings. Then they opened a restaurant near the Guthrie Theater called Zen Box Izakaya. The ramen unparalleled. And now this couple has launched a food hall with another ramen restaurant called Eat Street Crossing. A couple of great Twin Cities entrepreneurs. You're going to love these stories as you sit back and enjoy Episode 25 of DeRusha Eats.
Really, the chef from one of the hottest restaurants, I would say, of the last... Well, when did you open, Jamie Yu, from Abang Yoli?
It's about, like, year and a half now.
Year and a half, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Abang Yoli, am I saying it the way you say it?
Yeah. It's perfect, actually.
Whew, thank you. You would tell me if I got it wrong, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
There's a lot of people saying like different ways. So
how do people? So it's A-B-A-N-G.
Yes.
And then Y-O-L-I. So yep. How do people say it?
It's like some people say like A-Bang Yoli. Like, yeah. It's like some people spell like a French, you know?
Abang Yoli.
Yeah.
So. Do you correct? What's the right thing to do when you own a restaurant? Do you correct people or let them say it however they want?
No, they can say whatever they want. Honestly, I don't really like. I mean, I respect them. I mean, they remember us, and then you know, that's important. You know,
Meritage is the one that I think is the most mispronounced restaurant in the Twin Cities.
Oh, really?
Meritage in St. Paul.
St. Paul. Yeah,
because it's just Meritage.
Yep.
At least that's how the owners say it.
Yeah,
but people say Meritage.
Meritage. Yep.
But I think Meritage is a made-up word. What does Abang Yoli mean?
So Abang is brothers. So my business partner is like we used to work at the same restaurant for a long time. And then we are not real brother, but we've been working together for a long time. So
is this Lawrence?
Yes. And then we work at the Belcourt together. And then this is after... Sadly, we shut down after COVID, and then we reopened, but we shut it down again. So That was a sad moment. And then he was very, very, very helpful for me to in the restaurant and get through, like, after, like, you know, like all the sad happening in the Belcourt. Right. So he really helped me a lot. And then we start thinking about doing business together somehow. And then I was going to go back to Seattle. I'm from Seattle, Washington.
You're originally from Seattle?
Yes.
And you, what brought you here?
I moved here just for that restaurant.
Just to work at Belcourt?
Yes.
And then, because of Gavin Kaysen's reputation?
Yes. Yeah. Also, I used to work at this company called Michael Mina Group in Seattle. Called now it's a different restaurant, but it used to be RN74. Mm. And then I used to work with Chef Nick Dugan. He was a he was like one of my mentor for him. And then he was an opening chef when the Belcourt opened.
That's right.
So he brought me literally from Seattle to Snowstorm World. Yeah. So it was exciting.
Jamie Yu is our guest. Abang Yoli is the restaurant. First opened in Malcolm Yard.
Yes.
Which is just a terrific food hall. And your restaurant there quickly became a real crowd favorite.
Yes, luckily people love.
But you did some pop-ups before you opened up, right?
Yes, we did a pop-up at the Nighthawks, and then we did in the Meteor Bar for two different locations. And then we did a couple pop-up, and we experienced like how people like our fried chicken.
How important are those that pop-up idea? Because it's still a relatively new thing that diners are experiencing, where someone will have an idea and be like road testing it, or sometimes it's a caterer who also wants to dip their toe back into serving other people. For you, how important was it to be able to road test?
It was really, really important for me because I cook someone's, like, my food for my parents and some for people, but, like, this is, like, a real game, you know? Like, oh, I'm trying to sell my food.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to sell my food to the, like, guest. And then it has to be perfect. I really want to be perfect, and I want to learn, like, I want to see, like, how people think about our food is, my food is, you know? So that was really, really big challenge. And then we had a couple issue about like fryer during that time too, so that was kind of fun, but not really fun.
Was the issue with the fryer?
Fryer was so electric. Like when we do the pop up at Meteor Bar, there's an electric issue. The building is very, very old.
It's Meteor Bar is right on the edge of downtown Minneapolis. Yeah. It's a great bar.
That was my best. I'll say it's the best bar in Minnesota for me.
It's my favorite bar to go to.
Yeah.
But it's very much, it's not a kitchen. There is no
kitchen. So we literally set up the little two fryer, like a home style fryer on the backyard.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then we
And how many orders of chicken were you selling?
It was about 60 to 70.
On a home fryer.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little.
Do you have a moment where you're doing that and you're thinking, I worked for Michael Mina, I worked at Belcourt, which was Jason DeRusha's favorite restaurant.
Thank you.
While it was open. And now I'm using like a fry daddy in the parking lot of a bar alongside Interstate 94 and Lowry in Minneapolis.
Well, I don't know. I didn't even expecting I was going to open my own restaurant. You know, that was my dream. But opening a restaurant, opening any kind of concept like this kind of thing is really, really a challenge for everybody. Like everybody wants to open the restaurant. Like that's their dream. If you have a passion about cooking.
Of course. Right?
But luckily, we found this Malcolm Yard things in Prospect Park, which is very lucky for us to... it's very, very low risk for us. It was basically everything was set up there, and then we bring an idea and then staff and then cook our own food. And then luckily the Patricia Wall, she's the owner of the Malcolm Yard, and we did a couple tasting with her, and then she loved our food. So, and then she got into that little spot for us, and then that's just like I didn't even think about it. You're like, honestly, like you don't know what's going to happen in your life, you know?
You hadn't even thought about opening your own place?
No, I don't.
Because it was a dream.
It was a dream. And then be honest with you, after COVID, when the Belcourt shut down, for me, I almost quit cooking. That's how I was very emotional for me, because Belcourt, like literally I moved here to Minnesota for that restaurant. I have no reason to move Minnesota, just that restaurant. And that was like my life. I spent half of my 20s there, in, you know.
In Wayzata.
In Wayzata. And then I didn't have a car for 4 days. Huh. I mean, 4 years, sorry.
For 4 years.
4 years, and I just walked there. Walked there, opening, cooking food, back.
You were there all day.
Yeah, it was just, that was my first opening restaurant I worked. And then I just learned so much from all this talented chef. Chef Gavin, Lawrence, Nick, Chef Ryan, my sister Diane, you know. Everybody just...
It's an incredible team.
It is like the best team ever.
So when it closed, the emotional part of it, did you feel lost?
I feel lost of my career, to be honest. Like I was like, in that time, I was like, what am I going to do?
Right.
I mean...
And your friends were all connected to...
Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure everybody thinking about the same thing, like me, some people. I mean, they're like, yes, we love cooking. And then we're passionate about cooking. And then... Like, this, my life of the restaurant is closed, you know.
Well, and the context is so important, too, because not only did you have your restaurant and your life taken, but it also was the context of COVID going on, and you really didn't know what life was going to be like on the other end.
And then,
could you ever open another restaurant?
Yeah. And then, am I like, can I get a job? You know,
right.
Like, I don't even know I'm going to get a job here. Then my apartment lease was still 7 months left. And then I had to call my parents. And, like, I just told my mom, just, like, honestly, like mom, I don't know what am I going to do anymore. I don't even know. I should, like, am I, like, good to go back to restaurant? Like,
right.
Because, like, I never, I literally stay in the Belcourt rest half of my 20s. And then I don't know how I feel like working at some different restaurant.
Right.
You know? With different people. I'm just so get used to my family, which is the employee of all the Belcourt.
Yeah.
Yep. That was the...
It's really amazing. Jamie, you can, I think people can hear it in your voice, just how much that restaurant closing, you know, and we feel it as diners when we lose our favorite place.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that sense of loss. But to be in your shoes...
Yep.
Moving here just for that job.
Yep.
Boy, what a pivot point in life, though, right? Because you could have, like you said, packed up, moved back to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
You could have gone back to school. You could have gotten a job as a letter carrier, like some people I know in the restaurant business did.
Yeah, I can just do whatever. I mean, I was thinking like any kind of job, you know, like packaging, like any kind of job.
Because you just needed to survive.
Yeah, I just needed do something. I can't just stay home doing nothing. You know, I got to stand up and I got to move, you know.
Your restaurant, I feel very grateful that you stayed and that Malcolm Yards was available for you. Abang Yoli is your interpretation of sort of a modern Asian food, but it's extremely accessible and approachable. I hesitate to say interpretation of modern because it makes it sound fancy and precious, and that's
It's very comfortable food. I'll say we are focusing on Southeastern and Eastern Asian cuisine. So I am born in Korea, and then my business partner, he is born in London in England, but he's half Malaysian, so he has a lot of like inspired Malaysian cuisine too. So Malaysian, Thai, like I also been to Japan a couple times, and then all these things are mixture. And then we also learned so many of this different kind of technique at Belcourt. So we kind of like mixed in together, you know, it's a little bit of French there, a little bit of this, you know, all like Italian, like all these things like combined. And then we made the menu and it tastes good, you know, it's not like super like authentic Asian, but like people loved it.
It tastes so good.
I was very happy, and I'm very thankful people just keep coming and ask, like, told us, like, it's the best food, like, best fried chicken sandwich ever, you know.
And there are a lot of fried chicken sandwiches out there, so to have yours.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of fried chicken sandwich, you know. Like, I go to, like, any kind of, like, restaurant and then have a fried chicken sandwich, and then, like, people coming for us, you know.
Yeah.
Than having a fried chicken sandwich.
It's high praise.
It is. Like, I'm very, very appreciate all these people coming for us to eating fried chicken sandwich.
All right. I really got drawn into your story. So I forgot that we probably should take a break. So let's take a break.
Yeah, sounds good.
We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about Korean style
fried
chicken, which is one of your specialties. And I also want to talk about why being in a food hall was such a lifesaver for someone with a dream. Jamie Yu is our chef guest. The restaurant is Abang Yoli, two locations, both in Minneapolis. To Russia Eats, brought to you by Liquor Boy and the Minnesota Pork Board, continues in a minute. To Russia Eats on this Tuesday, our guest is Chef Jamie Yu from Abang Yoli. Korean style fried chicken. What is it?
So the Korean style fried chicken. So if you think about, I'll say it this way. And in Korea, a lot of people love fried chicken. There is more fried chicken place more than McDonald's in Korea.
Really?
You will see at least two or three Korean fried chicken place in every two blocks of the street.
Huh.
That's how people are crazy about.
They just love fried chicken.
They love the fried chicken. So there is no such as a definition of the Korean fried chicken. But it is crispy, it is very moist, and then it's not get soggy really easily. So what we do in Abang, we do is deep fry into the 300 Fahrenheit, the oil, fry oil. And then basically like almost like a, like making like the, like almost like moist, keep the moisture inside, and then, you know, like keep it like almost like a poaching the chicken. And then when we about that process, and it's about like 75% cook of the chicken, and we rest a little bit, and we move to the high temperature.
Got it. Because 300 is pretty low.
Yes.
Very
low.
Very low
for frying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we fry to the about 350 to 365 Fahrenheit to make the outside is really, really crispy, and then keep the juice inside. And we serve with the many different, like two different kinds of sauces. We have a spicy gochujang sauce. And it's like a very, very, like, it's not super spicy. It's like a Minnesota spicy. I always explain to people. It's not painful spicy.
You're not going to start crying.
It's not going to cry like when you have a like, little bit. And then we have a sesame ginger garlic sauce. It's like a little bit savory sauce.
Got it.
And then, yeah.
And you have other items as well on the menu, all sorts of things. But it's really, I mean, people have loved it already. And I before the break, I said we should talk about the food hall.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if people realize just because you're a great chef doesn't mean that you've got investors or lenders ready to give you the money that it takes to open a restaurant.
Yeah. It's a, well, the food hall, I'll say it is a great, great concept. I mean, first time when I opened in the food hall, I didn't know like what that mean was. Mm. Like, what is food hall?
Right. You know,
it's like there is some kind of food hall in Minnesota and St. Paul. And then like and there's like Keg and Case, Grace. And yes, that's kind of food hall I was thinking. And then before the Malcolm Yards opened, I went to look at the building. And then this building, it's like a like big land.
It's huge.
It's
surrounded
so,
by and it was surrounded by nothing.
Yeah.
And now it's apartments going up left.
It's like
and right.
There's apartments going on, and there's like brand new apartments right next to each other, and like literally crazy, you know. So it's really beneficial for us. Like the food hall brings the people.
Yeah.
Like
and you can get in at low cost and low
yes,
rent.
Yes. And then there's a lot of parking spot. That's the key.
Yeah. I think. It's by the U of M. It's by Surly.
Surly,
yep. So there's a lot of transit, bike path, lots of stuff over there.
Then people coming in for gathering, like the families, and on the weekends and in the weekday, like the business meeting there.
Yeah.
And like little party.
And then you have
party.
Another location at 38th and Nicholas South Minneapolis.
Yes, we are focusing on like a very small seat. It's like only 8 seats inside.
Yeah.
It's like a bar stools.
It's a lot of takeout, right?
So, and then we are doing a lot of takeout for the people who lives around there. And then even people are, some people coming for us from Shakopee. That was one guy was from the Shakopee. He was driving all the way down from Shakopee to us to just doing a takeout for just one chicken sandwich.
Oh, wow.
And it's just really, really like, you know. And then I just...
It gets you right, right in the, then, all the feels right there.
Then
right?
He brought a brother next week. And all this, it's just so crazy. Like, and it's good, you know.
Jamie Yu from Abang Yoli. Your three favorite restaurants to go to that aren't your own.
I'll say... Young Joni, Spoon and Stable, and then Martina. Those three my restaurants. Like that's
pretty great.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Young Joni was my first restaurant I've been to. Minnesota. I didn't have a car, and my phone was died, and I was just walking around somewhere. And then it was a Sunday, and then I got into one restaurant, and it was really good. And then I found out that was like James Bureau restaurant.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and then I guess it's a pretty good restaurant.
You randomly selected a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
We could talk all day, but our time is up.
Yes.
This was outstanding.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you for coming on. Abang Yoli is the restaurant. Go to Malcolm Yards, the other location in Nicollet. I suspect we'll see more locations from you in the future.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
DeRussia Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRussia.
Lena Goh and John Ng. I first met them at Zenbox in the Skyway. Then it became Zenbox Izakaya. And last month they opened a collective restaurant space, sort of like a food hall, called Eat Street Crossing. They're our guests on DeRussia Eats. Our guests on DeRussia Eats are John Ng and Lena Goh. They are the owners and chefs behind Zenbox Izakaya and the brand new Eat Street Crossing with a couple of different places in there. John and Lena, it's so good to have you with us.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, it's fun.
Right? The radio world. It's so glamorous, let me tell you. You guys have had quite a journey from the first time I met you in the Skyway in downtown Minneapolis to your beautiful restaurant, the best ramen in the upper Midwest, the best ramen I've had for sure, John, and the great hospitality from you, Lena. Tell everyone your story, because you you guys are not from Minnesota originally.
We're not.
We're not. Yeah, I was born in Malaysia.
I was born in Hong Kong.
And we met on the internet back in 1997. I was
back before it was cool to meet on the internet.
Exactly.
We used dial up, so
internet,
it was slow.
Mm-hmm. And we met on, you know, we didn't see the photos of one another, not like Twitter, Tinder.
Right.
You know, we just chatted on ICQ, if anybody remembers
that. Yes, I remember ICQ. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I flew over to San Francisco to meet this guy who I think is a normal guy.
Yeah. And
you were
hoping.
Here we are. Yes, I was hoping.
Did he turn out as normal as you had expected?
I don't know.
Yeah. After 15 years, yeah.
Well, he lost count. We've been married for 22 years now.
Oh, yeah. That's true, huh?
22.
Yeah, 15 is the business, but marriage-wise, like 20-something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you were in San Francisco, John, what were you doing?
I was studying architecture, and I graduated, worked in the field for 7 years. And during that time, I was actually working in architecture firm daytime, and then at night I work in restaurant just to get some like extra, you know, income. But that's how I start my career, I guess. Just,
the side hustle.
Yeah, restaurant. The side hustle, pretty much. Yeah. So yeah.
John Ng and Lena Go are our guests. How did you end up coming here to Minneapolis?
Well, it was pretty much through one of our best friend, I mean, one of my best friend that we were hanging out in San Francisco. But during that time, his business was actually based in Minnesota, which is, you know, exporting soybean from Minnesota to Japan. So he moved here after a year.
Yeah.
He called me up and said, "Hey, John, you got to come over here. There's no, you know, good Japanese food, you know, in Minnesota." And he was suggesting maybe you guys want to move over here and, you know, start a new career adventure in life. And that was during the time that the financial crisis.
The high-tech bubble burst. Back in 2000. Uh-huh.
So,
Good time to leave.
Good time to leave because I was getting laid off through architecture. Like, all the project I stopped.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like wondering what else I can do during that time. So apparently that's the opportunity we took. And then we just pack up and moved here.
Yeah.
Well, we are the beneficiary of your friend being here in the Twin Cities that you both came and you opened in the Skyway, Zenbox, which quickly kind of gathered word of mouth for being like, hey, this is like legit quality food in the Skyway in downtown.
Yeah, that was what we wanted to do, something quick and affordable and hearty. And we call it Zen Box because you have a bento box and it's a box of harmony. And you have your veggies, your carbs, and your protein.
Yeah, and pretty much everything cooked from scratch. I mean, down to the sauce, you know, and, you know, I remember I have to spend like almost whole day to cut like 3 cases of frozen chicken just to keep up with the demand. Yeah. So that was crazy back then.
Yeah.
John Ng and Lena Go then opened Zen Box near the Guthrie Theater in the Mill District.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your ramen is what you've really become known for, even though there are many other kind of wonderful things on the menu.
Right.
What drove and drives your obsession with ramen?
Actually, when I was still, you know, working in San Francisco, the chef that taught me ramen, he was pretty much the first generation ramen chef in San Francisco that opened up a ramen joint and, you know, / izakaya. So that's where I pick up all the skills from him. And, you know, and when we first moved to Minnesota, you know, at the Skyway, even though the Skyway location, I mean, originally, I really wanted to do ramen. But back then, ramen wasn't a thing at all. So we didn't want to take that risk of just doing it for the, you know, just for my obsession.
For your crazy ideas.
Yeah. So we're...
Because it's very labor intensive.
It was very labor intensive.
It takes a long time to make the broth.
Yeah, and finding in the right ingredient for the broth itself is actually took me 5 years to get the right ingredients, even though, you know, after we opened Zenbox Izakaya, is because I was, you know, primarily using pork bone base. So apparently in America, pork bone, the word pork bone they use wasn't the pork bone that we use in Asia.
Oh, it's a different bone?
Yes.
Interesting.
So we use primarily the femur bones.
Okay.
Because it has the collagen attached to the knee area of that part of the bone.
And some of our listeners are thinking, what on earth would the difference be? What? Who cares if it's got more collagen? But collagen is really...
That make the broth... with that texture of the thickness and also the silkiness of the broth itself,
that's
the body
silky.
Of the broth.
It's yeah. the people, pretentious people talk about mouthfeel, Lena, but you know what it's like, right? Mm-hmm. There's something that yeah. happens when,
yes.
when you slurp it down.
Right.
Exactly. The collagen and the, you know, the stickiness in your mouth, that's the true essence of the tonkotsu ramen.
And that's how, you know, the noodle, with the combination of noodle you use, because if you have the right consistency of the silkiness, it will just attach on the noodle while you're slurping. So because the noodle itself have no flavor, right? So you are pretty much relying, you know, completely to the broth and then the flavor. So that's how you get the attach of the flavor through the broth is by that collagen.
The collagen.
Yeah.
So for you to find the femur bone to use was, it wasn't as easy as calling
up. It wasn't that easy.
It was yeah. definitely a challenge finding
Were
the
you
right.
supportive of this, or are you like, come on,
well,
John, just find another bone?
He was adamant about finding the right bone, and it took him a while.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, I was his harshest critic.
Well, until I met Mike Phillips, that had the
Red Table Meat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they were starting Red Table Meat back then, so I...
He was taking whole hogs,
yes.
right.
breaking them down mm-hmm. into salami and salumi
right,
and all sorts
right.
of different
so things. So he, after he butchered the pig itself, all this bone that he left over, he asked me, do I want to take it? So I just took it from him. And then throughout the time, you know, as the production started, you know,
ramping up
mm-hmm. for me, I start asking, can you connect to me to all those smaller farmers that raise pig around you know, this region and see if I can find enough
femur legs.
Yeah, femur for me to cook bone.
I mean, under different circumstances, people might call the police on you.
Yeah.
some just, crazy man in Minneapolis
right.
is obsessed with the pig femur.
Right, right.
But it makes a difference in the flavor.
It
and
does.
That's, that is that, you know, I think there are lessons for people, no matter what your profession is, that idea of obsessing over the perfect ingredient.
Right.
It's yeah. a worthy endeavor, don't you think? You could do it. You could do it without this.
Yes. Yes. I think the most important thing is if you're going to do something, might as well do 100% of it. Hmm. You know, if I don't reach that 100%, at least I have no regret, right?
And you said Lena's your toughest critic?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is not good. Let's change it or make it better. And, you know, it took us many years to really perfect the broth.
Yeah.
When we first started.
The tonkotsu broth.
Right.
Yep.
And it's something special, I tell you. Like I've had, and just I know you both have as well, had ramen all over the country, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think your ramen stands up to anybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
He is obsessed. He's very yeah. obsessed.
So you can tell.
They call him the ramen guru in town.
Right. Your Instagram is ramen
architect
of
yeah.
course,
yeah.
but which has the double meaning, of
yeah.
course, too.
Yeah.
John Ng and Lena Go are our guests. Eat Street Crossing is their new and newest endeavor right on Eat Street in Minneapolis. It's a food hall. We will talk about that. And kind of some of the new things, ramen a part of it, but there's more, and we'll talk about that as we continue here on DeRussia Eats. Back on DeRussia Eats with John Ng and Lena Go from Eat Street Crossing, Zen Box, Izakaya, Eat Street. My wife and I just went there and just had a great time. The building renovation is absolutely gorgeous. This is at 28th and Nicollet in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And you have a couple concepts inside the building. Mm-hmm. There is a ramen place, of course, right, John?
Yes.
But it's different. It's not the pork-based broth.
It's chicken-based broth.
Is it different to make? Is it harder?
It actually takes more time to make chicken broth than pork broth. Because of the collagen level is different.
We're all learning so much about bone collagen today.
The process is different.
And the process is different.
Is
so
it?
I actually have to divide it into two parts and then mix it back into one part.
To get the flavor
profile. To get the flavor, texture, and everything else. Mm-hmm. Because the chicken bone itself is give out flavor, right?
Right.
And the chicken feet itself give out collagens. And then on top of that, I use chicken skins as well to give out that silkiness throughout the whole, you know, mouthfeel you know.
So you're really, in a way, you're like a conductor of an orchestra gathering these different kind of parts to put it together to create what you're looking for.
And before I do all this, I have to extract all the chicken oil from the chicken skin before I start the process. Otherwise, the broth will become too greasy.
Mm.
And then I can use
all had broths like that.
And
any home cook who's made chicken noodle soup, you know when you go too far.
Right. And make it thick, you know, creamy, as well as, you know, clean. Mm. That's an art by itself to me. So that's what I'm trying to create in East Street Crossing. And it's totally different than, you know, Zenbox Izakaya. So I want to make that separation, clear separation between Zenbox Izakaya and this new ramen shop. So
you can tell John's really obsessed. He cannot stop talking about ramen.
I know. You can't get a word in edgewise. You're used to this, right?
Yes.
You're used to this.
Yes.
Lena, what sort of experience did you want people to have at 8th Street Crossing? Because we've had our ups and downs with food halls in this community, and people have seen it all around the country.
Yes, it's something where it's so important to me, a place together, a place where you feel that you can have fun and really enjoy your friends or your family or anyone's company. And that was the idea behind the food hall that we really wanted to create. And we've been around the country and being, you know, studying different types of food hall. And we decided to do this way where we can control what kind of food we would like to offer and what kind of experience, and it's within our control.
Do we have enough people here in Minnesota who will go to 28th and Nicollet to go to Eat Street to keep you guys going?
Well, what we're focused on is the community.
Yeah.
In the neighborhood. And that's why Eat Street means so much to us, because we have such a diverse and amazing neighborhood around that area. Mm. And we really want to bring the confidence back for the people in the neighborhood and the people outside of this neighborhood to come back to Minneapolis and come back to Eat Street.
So you have Ramen Shoten, which is your ramen concept, but there's also a sushi, describe what Sushi Dori is, because it's not a traditional sushi spot.
It's not. It's Sushi Dori, sushi, you know, sushi, and then Dori means street in Japanese. We want to make it like a izakaya style, street food style sushi. So we created this sushi sandwich, sushi sando, that's what we call it, where you can have a beer or wine on one hand and have a sushi sandwich on the other hand.
Right.
So it's accessible and bar focused.
Well, and when you look at the ingredient itself too, it's not just raw fish. You know, we find a lot of Minnesotans, you know, They just don't like raw fish. And we were using, you know, we were thinking the idea, oh, we could use other ingredients other than raw fish, you know, for that kind of concept. Basically, just think of it as a sandwich with no bread, but instead of, you know, bread, you use rice and nori sheet.
And definitely spam.
Yeah, spam.
How Minnesotan is that?
That's
with
right.
Spam?
Yeah.
You've got spam, you've got pork belly, you've got a fried chicken sandwich. So all of those options, but it's presented like a like a sushi sandwich.
Yeah.
Pretty fun. What have you found as far as the crowds that are showing up?
Oh, all ranges. We have families, we have hipsters, we have Gen Z, you know, like every age, I think, you know, we were very, very like, wow, this is blown away by how receptive the East Street Crossing is to all ages.
Yeah. People keep calling this food hall. For us, it's, at the beginning, we have the hardest time to figure out, should we call this a food hall? Because it's not really a food hall to us, because we, you know.
What do you mean?
It's like a food hall, but the way we operate is like a restaurant.
Yes, and it's even the hospitality part.
Even though the offering, we're not relying on somebody else. Hopefully they will rent a space to make this space cohesive. Instead, we will control the food to match with the vibe we give out to this whole package of, activities.
It's a multi-concept.
John Ng and Lena Goh are our guests. Eat Street Crossing, one of the favorite features of DeRussia Eats is when our restaurant professionals tell our listeners what their three of their favorites other places to go in town that are not their own restaurants.
Yes, I'll start first.
Go for it.
My first one is Bala Grassa, for sure. Mm. I love my carbs, and I got to have my pasta. Yes.
So good.
Yes.
So good.
And my second one is Kotu. It's a Vietnamese, it's a family-run Vietnamese restaurant in Bloomington at the corner of 79th and Penn.
What's it called?
Kotu, C-O-T-U. Amazing bun bo hui. It's very herby, and it's got chunks of pork feet and pork hocks and beef in there. So it's a mixture of beef broth and pork broth.
Cool.
And the third one is definitely Sidewalk Kitchen. That's in Stadium Village. Very traditional Hong Kong style street food and dishes that I love.
Nice.
And John and I share.
Yeah.
Love.
Well, and my three is the first one had to be Rainbow Chinese.
Yes.
By Tammy. Her wonton.
The Sichuan
wonton.
So good.
So good. The flavor is so good. It's so meaty, and it's just, you just keep craving for that. And the second one I would think is Italian Eatery, right? Near
Nicomas.
Yes. I love the environment. You know, love the dishes. You know, it's very creative in a way. You almost feel like you are in the city, but you're actually at the suburb,
right?
While you're sitting out at the patio. So I love that place. And I think the third one is more like a brunch, Maria's Kitchen.
Maria's Cafe.
Maria's Cafe.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the breakfast.
Colombian breakfast.
It's very hearty. Yeah. I love something like that.
Those corn pancakes are so good there.
Oh, yeah.
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 Excellent. Those you two are two of my favorites, and it's so fun to see your success. And we're so glad you spent some time with us today on DeRussia Eats.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
John Ng, Lena Go, Zenbox Izikaya. Go check it out and check out Eat Street Crossing in Minneapolis. Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast. On WCCO Radio, 830 AM, we do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Audacy@audacy.com. Jason@audacy.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Audacy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.